comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Dobrodan, sawadi kap, buna diminatsa, bonjour, bon dia, buenos dias, dobro doshli. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the first time. Well, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into. The Kevin Smith Show is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and that's a fact. I've gotten some email from some of you expressing concern over something you've heard me mention. You've heard me talk about it, and that is... I brought to your attention again, after 2.5 years, the legislation and the planned implementation thereof that is going to wipe out a lot of internet broadcasters. It's not going to be as bad as it would have been, and this new legislation allowed for negotiations and agreements and so forth. And so the Sound Exchange and some of the big broadcasters have come to an agreement. And they say that smaller broadcasters will be paying this over here. And they have another fee schedule. Well, smaller broadcasters, according to the article, is defined as broadcasters with less than $1.25 million of revenue. Well, again, you know, these guys in Washington are so out of touch with reality because there are precious few internet broadcasters who have revenues above $50,000. There are very few that have revenues above $10,000 per year. Now, that's just a fact in the internet radio business. And so for those broadcasters, if they have been playing if they continue to play commercially licensed music, you know, the music you listen to when you turn on the radio and you listen to that canned top 40 or top 10 or whatever it is, that's commercially licensed music. It is why all radio stations sound pretty much alike. You pick a rock station, all rock stations in the country sound pretty much like that rock station. If you pick a country station, almost all of them sound just like that one. And the reason is because they're using all the same music. They dip into the same pool. It's commercially licensed music. And those broadcasters that are using that are going to be wiped out, most of them. And it's going to happen very soon now because Sound Exchange is going to begin exacting the fees. And they're retroactive to January 1, 2006. So a lot of the online radio stations that you may listen to may not be there much longer. The ones that will survive will be the ones that have independent shows like this one and independent music. That's what we play. We'll be back with Open Line Live right after this. And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show Open Line Live tonight. We're going to have a good time tonight because this is where we allow you to bring your own topic. And it's BYOT, bring your own topic. And, of course, I've brought a couple of topics that I thought would be pretty interesting for us to talk about. You know, it's sort of interesting to me when once in a while I will get an email from someone that says, why don't you ever talk about anything besides UFOs? Well, actually, we do. We have a long list of non-UFO shows that we have done. I brought you a live, breathing, real, genuine vampire. I brought you a two werewolves. I understand some of you will say, well, I don't think those really exist. Nevertheless, if you think they don't exist, they think they do, and we had them here on the air. Brought you Dr. Michio Kaku, and we talked about physics and futuristic science. And, you know, we've had a number of psychics. We've had a number of ghost hunters. And we've had a number of people that deal with very futuristic things, like Drajan Pramati, who came and talked with us. He's a former NASA engineer. And he talked with us about the cosmic unit of energy. So we've just had all kinds of things. We've had Samir Osmanagic and talking with us about the Bosnian pyramids. We've had Ken Klein talking about the Great Pyramid. So it's not always about UFOs. And those of you who have been listening for some time are aware that one of my really favorite topics, I don't talk about it a lot, but you know I'm very interested in it, and we have talked about it, has to do with Antarctica. Now, the reason it's interesting and the reason that we talk about it on this show is because this show, the genre of this show, is not just UFOs, it's not just the paranormal. It's anything that's strange, mysterious, unexplained, and wow, all of that fits when you start talking about Antarctica. Antarctica is a vast, vast frozen continent, and it is very mysterious. It is mysterious because even though they're the official people, you know, the scientists that work there and others, whoever they may be, that work there. And by the way, did you know there is a radio station on the internet from Antarctica? There sure is. And they play some pretty cool music. You might want to check that out. But the official people who are there probably know a great deal about Antarctica, and we have reason to think, in fact, reason to know, that there is a great deal more to know about Antarctica than is allowed to get out into the public. And one of the things we know about Antarctica is that it's not all ice covered. There are regions of Antarctica that have no ice. There are, and in those regions, there are liquid water lakes on the surface. It's still cold. You still, you know, you won't put on a bikini or a Speedo and hit the beach. It's still cold, but there are liquid water lakes. And if you look at some of the pictures of those liquid water lakes, and these are not under the ice, these are on the surface. If you look at those, you will be instantly impressed with the immense clarity of that water. Just outstandingly clear water. But we also know that there is a system of liquid water lakes far beneath the ice. Lake Vostok being one of them. It's beneath 2 miles of ice, and yet it is liquid water. And it's a big lake. It's I think, about 65 miles long, something like that. It's a big lake. Well, there are some other things about Antarctica that keep cropping up that are sort of interesting. And I want to share this with you, and then I'll open up the telephone lines, and we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. Now, the report that I hold in my hands is originally written in Russian and has been translated to English. So as I share this with you, there are a few rough spots in the translation, and I will be dealing with trying to smooth those out as we go. So it may be a little bit halting as we go here. But basically, here's the story. The story is that, and you've heard of the Peary Reese map. Well, in January 1820, there was a lieutenant of the Russian Imperial Fleet by the name of Mikhail Lazarev. And he reported discovering a new continent, and that continent is what we call Antarctica. And then later, about 20 years later, in 1840, the head of the Istanbul National Museum, by the name of the guy that's the head of that museum, was named Halil Ethem, found an old map while revising the library of Byzantine emperors in the old Sultan's palace. The author of this map accurately drew the western coast of Africa, the southern coast of South America, and the northern coast of Antarctica. Well, this was pretty astonishing. The map showed Antarctica without all of the ice banks. In other words, the actual coastline. Well, in 1949, there was a joint British-Swedish expedition that conducted thorough seismic exploration of the southernmost continent, and what they were looking for was mapping what's under the ice, and the results were that what they mapped using modern scientific methods, using seismic instruments, what they mapped was the land that was under the ice, and it matched the Peary Reese map. Now, the Peary Reese map was produced back in 1513. And Peary Reese, who was an admiral in the Turkish Navy, explained on the margins of the map that it was based on previous sources, some of which belonged to his contemporaries, while others could be dated as early as the 4th century B.C., and one of those sources belonged to Alexander the Great. So that's kind of mysterious, isn't it? I mean, here's a map of the continent, part of the continent of Antarctica, that is accurate. And it was produced some 300 years before Antarctica was allegedly discovered. And the guy that made that map said that he got his information from older sources, one of them dating back to Alexander the Great. Now, whenever the scientists started looking at, well, when was the last time that that coastline had no ice on it? The last time that coastline of Antarctica had no ice on it was during the rise of the Egyptians and the Sumerians. You know, the Sumerians only predate the Egyptians by a few decades. I mean, it's they're not thousands of years older than the Egyptian civilization. So they were on the rise at virtually the same time. The Sumerian civilization is the oldest city-dwelling civilization we know anything about. And yet here's a map that depicts the coastline of Antarctica as it would have appeared at that time. Well, there is a theory that between the 5th and 10th millennium B.C., that a human civilization lived on the planet possessing great knowledge in navigation, cartography, astronomy, and that their level of knowledge and technology was not lower than that of the 18th century. And when you add to that the fact that there is this story that's out there now, this rumor that's out there, it's been out for quite a while, that scientists working in Antarctica discovered beneath the ice some ancient ruins. Wow. Now that's pretty cool, don't you think? So what do you think about that? This article says that they were probably not an alien race, but just precursors to us. Then there is the theory that I don't think I'm misrepresenting Richard Hoagland's views on this. If I am, my apologies to Richard Hoagland, but I believe this is correct. The theory that we are actually transplants from another planet and that we originated actually on Mars. So that theory is out there. And then there is the theory that we were not transplanted here, but that we were engineered here. And if you look at these dates, the engineering would have been at about the time that they say that civilization would have existed. So what do you think about this? We're going to throw the line open. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind this evening. BYOT, bring your own topic. If you don't want to talk about this, we've got some more stuff we can talk about, or you can bring your own topic, and we will talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about, all right? The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. The telephone lines are open. I am most interested to hear whatever it is you have to say, either about this story or some other topic. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing today?
Good.
Are you staying cool down there?
You're a funny guy. You know, we have reached that time of the year here in Phoenix where we are living in the northern suburbs of hell.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, it's hot.
Hey, I wanted to, tonight I wanted to take the time to, I wanted to make a couple of suggestions to the listeners out there.
Okay, what about?
Well, I'd like to hear people's ideas on what can we do to keep your show going. One of the reasons why I like your show is because your show is 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And most shows, they only do one show a week. You do 5 days a week. You've had all the great guests on, Richard Hoagland, Michio Kaku, on and on and on, Stanton Friedman last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say to all the listeners, if you're new, that I think this is probably one of the only places around where you have the opportunity to call in and ask some of these guests questions. Some of the other shows, they're almost impossible to get through. And And I just, I'd like to hear, I wouldn't mind hearing people's ideas as how we can help you keep your show going. I'm just, I want to see your show keep going, because if there's anybody that wonders why you charge for monthly for K-Pods, that's because you do a show 5 days a week, and you put a lot of hard time and work into it. And
yeah, I put about 100 hours a week in it. I put about 100 hours a week into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, most shows, they do like maybe a podcast a week. I've noticed lately that there's a lot of shows that are popping up now on this subject. But if there's anybody, you know, I wouldn't mind doing this for you, Kevin. I have a feeling that there might be some listeners out there that may run into, maybe they had a few problems. You know, you've been hacked before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of them tried to watch your show and found out that they couldn't watch it. And it was nothing. It might have had something to do with their computer. It might have had something to do with your computer. And maybe they just kind of went on their way and never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't mind writing up, like, if I could spend some time, I could write up a series of things, troubleshooting issues that somebody can go through. Like, and I'll send it to you in an email, and you can see what you want to do with it.
Sure.
Kind of if you have trouble viewing the player, here's what you need to do. Maybe update your flash or whatever. I'll send it to you, and you can see what you do with it. I'm just trying to see if there's anybody. I wouldn't mind hearing from the callers tonight. What can we do? What can we do? What are some suggestions to help get your show, get the word out about your show?
Well, I appreciate that, because it's really not a joke, and we're really not kidding when I tell you that between January and now, we're down to one-third of the revenue we had coming in. And what we had coming in was just paying the bills. Just. And so we're almost two-thirds below budget requirements. So, but, I mean, you know, the whole country's suffering. And, you know, every day people lose their jobs. And when they lose their jobs, they have to cancel their memberships. And when they cancel their memberships, then our revenue goes down. We had three today.
Right. Well, one of the big things for me was finding your show. When I first found your show, I was listening to some other shows, and you know, I had to wait a week for a new episode. And you know, you never got a chance to call in and ask the guests the questions. The host of the show went on and on about their views, and they never get the listener a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I found your show on a podcast directory site,
mm-hmm.
and I bookmarked it. And I suggest everybody out there put your show on a bookmark, because every day you have a different show, and you never know what guest is going to be on. And you always have a chance to call them and ask them questions. But I just wouldn't mind hearing people's suggestions out there. What can we do to have more people find your show?
All right. Good idea, and I appreciate the call. I got to run, though, because of breaks taking over. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it much. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and the telephone lines are open. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889, or if you need to call me on the toll-free line, it is 888-223-4599. Any topic that falls within our genre is open for discussion. You just call those numbers, and we will... we'll let you be our guide into the next topic. As always, if you happen to live outside the USA, as a great many of our audience do, you live outside of Canada, as many of our audience do, you can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you will see a link that says Flash Message. You can use that. And send me a flash message to participate in tonight's show. And we'll read it on the air, provided it comes from outside the USA and outside of Canada, and provided it's talking about something that's in our genre. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing? Did you get your package yet?
I did indeed. Thank you much. And I'll be sending you an email about that.
Oh, great. I was hoping I wouldn't get it back again.
Nope, we got it.
Very good. Glad to help. Yeah, and another thing, I was wondering, you was talking about sponsoring a show.
Yeah.
I quite don't understand that. What do you mean by that?
Okay, if someone, let's say that you decide you want to sponsor the show, then in those commercial breaks, the only thing that there will be no commercials run, and the only thing that people will see will be, you know, this hour sponsored by the XYZ company, and then it'll have the web address, and if there's any audio, it'll all be about that. There won't be other commercials. It'll be like PBS, you know, this hour brought to you by whoever.
So if it's like, you know, if I do it, you know, and I don't really have anything to advertise except for supporting Kevin Smith's show, you know, and I do that, you know, what like price range are we talking?
I think I sent you an email about that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Didn't you ask me about that in an email?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Oh. Well, send me an email to remind me, and I'll send it to you to your email address.
Okay.
But I can tell you, it's not thousands of dollars. It's not even hundreds of dollars. Okay?
Okay.
So, you know, we're in survival mode, and we're making this very affordable. And listening to me right now are people who have businesses. They even have home businesses. And it would be foolish for you to pass this up. It would. It really would.
Yeah, my brother does have a computer store in Toledo. I suppose I could advertise that for him.
Absolutely, yeah. Sponsored by the whatever the name is.
Yeah. Okay, did you think Stanton got the wrong impression, you know, when I asked him about, you know, his work last night, you know, and what, you know, it...
No, I don't think so. I thought it was a good question, and I think he got it right. I think he understood it. But my answer was, and still is, that there's absolutely no hope of there ever being a great worldwide conversion. First of all, that would presuppose that it's important to believe in UFOs, and it isn't. I don't believe in rain, but I know it when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in trains, but I know they exist, and I stay off the track. So, you know, it's a matter of knowing, and there's never going to be this great day of conversion where the masses start believing that UFOs are real. It's just not even necessary. There are people who don't, quote, believe that the Earth is round. There are people who do believe the Earth is flat. Not too many of them, but they're there. And, you know, like I said last night, you know, Christianity's been around for 2,000 years. It hasn't converted the world yet. Judaism has been around an additional 4,000 years, and they haven't converted the world. Islam has been around about 600 years prior to Christianity, and it hasn't converted the world. So there's never, ever going to be anything that really converts the world to any one idea.
Yeah. Also, I got, you know, you always say that, you know, if they, you know, would let this out, you know, and we'd have free energy and all this stuff would convert. You know, the binds that we're in now, I mean, you know, like our technology, you know, everybody's got what they need, you know, and that's why we're running into problems now, besides the stupid money thing. I think, you know, it would rejuvenate the society again, you know, because we'd have to build this stuff. We'd have to clean up the messes that we've made, you know, and change the whole world around to the new technology and the free energy. but we'd have to get, we'd have to get the establishment, the money establishment, to believe that they could make money out of it somehow.
Yeah, but they can't.
You know? And
they can't. And what's going to happen if the really advanced technology that many of us suspect exists, if that were, let's say that tomorrow President Obama steps in front of a camera and he says, folks, got a couple of things. He likes to say, let me make this very clear. So he steps to the camera and he says, a couple of things I want to make very clear. First of all, unidentified flying objects are a reality, and we have, over the years, recovered some of these UFOs as they've crashed. And very, very smart people working for the United States government have back-engineered them, and we have developed something that many of you refer to as free energy. And I'm here to announce to you, secondly, that as of today, that free energy is going to be available to you. People would be shouting in the streets. People would be dancing. People would be happy for about 5 minutes. Because the next urgent news flash that would come on CNN in about 5 minutes would be the complete, total, and utter demise of Wall Street.
Well, I don't think so because, you know, like I'm saying that, you know, all this stuff would have to be, the stuff that we're building now and the money, you know, it would switch over, you know.
No, it wouldn't.
Factories would need to be built to make this technology available to people.
Yeah, okay, now stop right there. Stop right there and think about this. What you just said is true. Factories would have to be built that could make the things we need for that technology. That is true. What are you going to do with all those factories that are in existence right now that are based on oil?
Well,
see, everything in our economy, worldwide, absolutely everything is tied to oil.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're at a point right now where, a lot of them are biting the bullet anyways. I mean, you know, what would be a better time? I mean, you know, we're gonna struggle here for a few years anyways, and you know, to do that, you know, we'd have to change our houses, you know, build our, you know, houses would have to be changed green, you know, and you know, and we, you know, and there'd be a lot of things to do about cleaning up pollution and, you know, and cleaning up our hazardous waste, and you know, I mean, I think there would be so much money and jobs to be out there to turn this over that we'd be in a whole new industrial revolution again, you know, until we got to the point where, you know, that everybody, you know, we're at, everybody's got everything, then...
Well, you know, let me ask you, now look, I am for disclosure, okay, but it has to be done very carefully and gradually. Because of what I described. So let me ask you to do a little reality check. Bernie Madoff had billions of dollars under his control. When the housing market started going soft, Bernie Madoff, his Ponzi scheme, lost its steam. And he was not able to keep it going, and he had to admit what he had been doing, and it collapsed. And billions of dollars, major banks all around the world, royal families around the world, major industrial giants around the world, all had their money invested with Bernie. And when that one man collapsed, our economy went in the dumpster. And when our economy went in the dumpster, the world economy went in the dumpster. It was a domino effect. And it was one guy that lit the fuse. Okay, yeah. Now look at the mess that we're in right now. We have mortgaged the next several generations to buy our way out of this recession, and we're hoping it will work, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, that's stupid.
All right. Now, that's just with one guy collapsing. If you take every major oil company, major or not, and with the announcement that we no longer need them, you'd collapse their stock.
Yeah.
Every bank.
It wouldn't all happen overnight, you know what I mean?
Well, that's what I said. You have to do it very gradually.
Gradual change over.
Well, you can't even announce it until you've got factories built. It has to be done really secretively. Because if you say anything or do anything that spooks Wall Street, then the entire economy will collapse utterly and irreparably.
Yeah, it's hard to understand, yeah.
And it has to be done gradually. It has to be done very secretly. And then one day you wake up and they say, folks, guess what? You really don't need oil anymore because we've got this new technology and we've already got 60% of the country ready to go online and the rest of you will be online by the end of next year. Something like that. Then you could do it. But if you do it suddenly, without preparation, and you don't take the proper precautions, then you would collapse the whole economy of the entire country, and thus the world. So, you know, I'm somewhat sympathetic to those who hold off on UFO technology disclosure. I think we should have disclosure, but I am aware of some of the problems they have to think about in how they do disclosure.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know, I just don't think that they're, even going to, attend to even try and switch us over. I think that...
Well, they're going to have to.
You know, the powers that be want to keep it, and...
They're going to have to. The world will be out of oil in something like another 50 years.
Yeah, and then the other things I've heard is that, the world's a source of oil, where they closed off old oil wells. I heard they refilled. I don't know how true that stuff is, but, that's what I'm hearing. That,
well, I hope it's true.
The whole oil thing is a farce.
I hope that's true. But Terry, break just took over. I'm going to have to run.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye.
Right. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Look, I'm very, very aware that some of the audience agrees with what I say about disclosure, and some of you strongly disagree with it. But that's what talk shows are all about. Talk shows are all about you get to say what's on your mind. I get to say what's on mine. You can say what's on yours. We believe in freedom of speech here. That is how it works. Don't misread what I'm saying. I am not saying that because of these financial economic concerns that is a reason to not have disclosure, full disclosure, to the American people regarding any information that our government may have regarding these unidentified flying objects and their technologies. Now, any of the technologies that would be dangerous to us, in other words, perhaps could be weaponized, that has to stay under wraps. We don't need everybody in the world knowing that technology. We don't need anybody in the world knowing that technology. So that needs to stay under wraps. But the rest of it could be disclosed. However, what I'm saying is that if perchance this is the president who is going to do it, if that's the case, then what he needs right now is to be putting into place all of the things that ramp up to being able to do that. You have to put those things in place. You can't just drop that information on the whole world and expect that your economy will not collapse. I think it will collapse. You have to prepare for that. You have to ramp up to it. And, you know, if you get those things in place, get them in order so that then you can make that disclosure, then you're okay. You're good to go. We have to think about the not just the event of disclosure, but we have to also think about the process that has to precede that event. You may disagree with that, and if you do, please feel free to say that you disagree, all right? The telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free at 888-223-4599. That's the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. So if you're in the USA or Canada, please use one of those two numbers. And if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, those numbers will work. They're not toll-free. You can call, and sometimes people do, and we're always glad to hear from our audience around the world. But you also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature. Just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message. Disclosure about, all this advanced technology, I think, first of all, it's inevitable that that disclosure will happen. What is not inevitable is the timing of it. And, I think those who want to use the possibility that the economy might collapse, they want to use that as a reason to never do disclosure. Well, they're drinking left-handed Kool-Aid. It won't work. And the reason it won't work is because events have a way of outrunning secrets. And sooner or later, the information will be so great, the volume of information will be so great, and the needs will be so great that the dam will burst and the information will come flooding out without control. So they need to be thinking in terms of we have to do disclosure. Let's start the process. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, I had a quick question about something a little bit off topic, but to address the question that we were on. At first I was thinking, what controls America? What controls the government now? It's an obvious socialism run full of big corporations trying to control things. So I was thinking, they usually do things when it benefits them for big money, mm-hmm. The guys at the top, everything this, that, and then there's millions of people down here, that's not really benefiting from most of it. So I'm wondering, what benefit would they have for disclosure, the people that actually run the world behind our backs?
At this point, there would be very little benefit. Think of it this way. All of the banks and insurance companies, and then, of course, when you're talking about banks and insurance companies, you're talking about the entire economy. Every business in America must do business with a bank and an insurance company. And so all of those banks and insurance companies are heavily invested, many of them, in oil. Okay? Most of them. Now, that, of course, they're diversified. That's not their only investments. But we have just seen since January how one thing happens and then it knocks over the next 300 dominoes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I thought it was interesting, an interesting aspect. If we're going to look at the free energy aspect, it seemed to me like they were trying to put 1,300 pages of energy management down our throat through Congress without them even reading it. And among a lot of those pages has to do with a lot of taxes, people coming through your home, inspecting, looking to see if you have environmental safe energy in there, wanting to upgrade, more taxes. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that would get rid of the carbon tax that he's been looking so much forward to, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but, you know, the thing is this. If they're ever going to do disclosure, what I'm saying has nothing to do with that legislation, and so I'm not defending that legislation. But I think a whole separate issue, if they're ever going to do disclosure in a controlled manner so that you don't collapse the economy, they better be ramping up towards that right now. That's what they need to focus on. Because we know, you know, I know, and everyone listening to this show knows that Tesla is not the only person that figured out free energy. There have been others since him, and the information dam, the block that has all of the information dammed up, is going to collapse. It's not a question of will it collapse. It's a question of just when. It is going to collapse. So if they want this thing to be controlled, they better ramp up quick, because the information's getting out.
That's one of the big factors right there, is the fact that there's more and more information, you know, on the subject, and a lot of it does have to do, to one degree, I mean, obviously most of it's technological. We've got cell phone cameras, more people know, more books are written, more video. But another part of it that's interesting would be the amount of sightings that are going up. Every single person I've talked to that's in the field says that in the last couple months, it's went up even more, and it was always rising. And I was telling one friend that it seems like there's 50 times the amount of sightings than 1960 or 1950, 40 from 1960 or 70, 30 times more sightings from 70s and 80s, 20 times from 80s and 90s. And it's almost like there's 10 times more in the last 15 years or 10 years since the Phoenix Lights started. And at that point, things were looking pretty incredible, you know, and now it's picking up more. Jeff's out there. It's interesting. What do you think about the, there's so many factors involved in why there could be more sightings, you know, more UFO activity. What do you think might be the reason? I think it's
because there are more of them. And I don't know why there are more, but I think there are more of these unidentified objects in the skies, and that's why, well, a couple of reasons. There are more of them, and there's also more of us on the planet, so there are more eyes to see them.
That's true, too.
And so you have more reports, but, if you just count... Forget counting the reports and just count the incidents. The number of incidents of UFOs, that number is going up.
Definitely.
And there's some pretty spectacular ones that have happened lately over the UK.
And that only adds to the dam of information you're talking about, making it something that's not even just growing anymore, but growing faster. And, you know, a levee that's growing faster and faster, it's more likely to bust eventually than to just take care of itself, right?
Yeah, its own weight will drag it down if you keep adding to it. A break just took over. Bob, I got to run. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And this is Open Line Live. That means we'll talk about what is on your mind. You know, I know we have a number of listeners in the San Antonio area, and one of our great affiliate stations there, Dewberry Jam Radio, and we've got a lot of listeners in the San Antonio area. And I read today about something I had heard about when I was in high school. But I think it was when I was in high school. It was a long time ago. I still had hair, so it was a long time ago. But it's somewhere in the San Antonio area. The story is that in the 1940s, I think it was actually in 1940, a school bus was struck by a train. It killed the driver and all the kids on the bus. And the crossing where this road crosses the railroad track, as it comes up to the railroad, it's at an incline on both sides. And since that very tragic accident, people have noticed several things. One of the things they've noticed is they can pull up to that crossing and wait for a train to go by. And they have to keep their foot firmly on the brake, because even if they have their foot just lightly on the brake, or if they have their foot off of the brake and the car is, we'll say, in neutral, it will still roll up the hill toward the tracks. And there's a video that I viewed about that, where they show that they documented the car rolling up toward the tracks on video. And they also showed that there were a lot of little handprints all over the car after this. And yet there were no little children all around the car that you could see. So it's a pretty weird thing. Now, those of you that live in San Antonio or in the area of San Antonio, I tried to find more information about that. I believe it's on Shane Drive in San Antonio. Anyway, if you know something about that, or you've seen it, or you've experienced it yourself, give us a call and let us know about that. That is a really weird sort of paranormal thing there. And so if you've got some information on that, call us and let us know. I started the show off tonight talking about Antarctica and about this, the fact that they have determined that, you know, the last time that the coastline of Antarctica was without ice would have been at the time of the ancient Sumerians and ancient Egyptians. And yet there exists this map, the Piri Reis map, dating from 1513. And Piri Reis, an admiral in the Turkish Navy, Piri Reis said that his sources for this map were from, you know, much older maps. One of those maps dates all the way back to Alexander the Great. It doesn't just date back. One of his sources was a map that Alexander had showing the coastline of Antarctica without ice. That means, then, that Alexander was using sources much, much older than he. Centuries, millennia older than he. If you think about it, we're talking about the Sumerians being at around 3, 4,000 B.C., somewhere along in there. Not 400, 4,000 B.C. And so that was the last time Antarctica did not have ice on its coastline. You know, as it is now, you get to the end of the land, and then where there should be an ocean, there are miles of ice shelf. And so the shape of Antarctica is not exactly like what you see in those satellite pictures. If you melt the ice and it's melting. But if you melt the ice so that you don't have those ice shelves, then you will see the coastline of the actual landmass of Antarctica. And that landmass matches the Peary Reese map, which comes from much more ancient sources, and those maps come from even more ancient sources, meaning then that at the time of the ancient Sumerians, you had someone on this planet with the capability, technologically, of sailing to South America and mapping that coastline, Africa and mapping that coastline, Antarctica and mapping that coastline. You had someone with rather high technological abilities at the time of the ancient Sumerians. And then there's this rumor out there on the internet that says that, I say it's a rumor, it's being reported as fact, and you may know something about this. If you have researched this and you have more information than I've been able to find, please call us and inform us about this. There's a story that in their explorations of Antarctica, the scientists, I guess with sonar or with ground-penetrating radar or some instruments, far beneath the ice have discovered the ruins of some buildings. And, you know, the ice is like a couple of miles thick, And down, way down under there, they have found some ruins of some buildings. So that would mean that, you know, when the climate was much more temperate in Antarctica, that there was there were people in Antarctica living there, apparently, because the story goes they found those buildings. The telephone numbers are on your screen, and it is open line live, 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599. Now, that that 888 number, that is the toll-free number, all right? 888-223-4599. If you live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada, feel free to go over to my website, use the flash message feature, and send me a flash message, all right? And then we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Now, in talking about Antarctica, you're quite naturally, you're referring to climate. I mean, you know, we talk about a time when there was no ice. It's hard for us to imagine that. We think that Antarctica has always had ice. But first of all, Antarctica was not where it is today. They know, scientists have determined that Antarctica at one time was several degrees farther north. It was essentially about where Australia is. We know that either the Earth has tipped and has turned that toward the south, or the Earth's crust has slipped. And both of those theories are out there. We know that we're several degrees off of what that magnetic north is several degrees off of what it was millions of years ago. It's about 45 degrees off, I think. So it's there's been a rather serious realignment of the planet by whatever means. So Antarctica at one time was a much more temperate place. It had a much more livable climate than what it's got now. And there were people living there. You know, they have found the remains of woolly mammoths. They have found the remains of other very large mammals and small mammals fossilized and frozen on Antarctica. So there was a time when it was not the frozen wasteland that it is today. Obviously, something big happened on this planet that caused Antarctica to be where it is and in the climatic conditions that it's in. Now, when you talk about climate, all of a sudden, you're into one of the biggest debates that exists on this planet today, and that has to do with global warming. Is it real or is it not? Interestingly, I've begun to see documentaries that say, well, yeah, global warming is happening, but that's the precursor to an ice age. I saw two of those documentaries within the last 2 weeks. Late at night. But I've seen two of those documentaries within the past 2 weeks. Robert Felix has been on this show talking about that very issue. He says that, you know, what everybody's getting ready for very, very hot weather. And what you need to be getting ready for is the next ice age because it's coming. Well, there are scientists who are now saying that that very well could happen. And it's showing up in some of the documentaries. On July the 8th, there was an article posted over at UFO Digest. It's a good article. It's short. It's written by Chris Holly. And it talks about the really strange weather. And let me read for you a paragraph here. Over my lifetime, I cannot recall a time when I was still wearing a jacket in the middle of June. We're not able to go outside to do anything summer-like, as it has been raining every day now for weeks. Our pools sit unused and our beaches deserted. And I want to read that first sentence again. The first sentence is, over my lifetime, I cannot recall a time when I was still wearing a jacket in the middle of June. Now, here in the Phoenix area, we also went through a very, very mild pre-summer season. It wasn't quite like spring. Normally, I mean, we were having days when normally we would have temperatures of 90 degrees Fahrenheit or above, and we were having those days at, you know, 75 to 80 degrees. And so it was about 10 degrees cooler than normal. Now, we finally have gotten into our norm for this time of year, but it was late in arriving. And it's very hot here now. The sun has gone down. It's dark outside. And I can tell you that we are still not under 100 degrees here. And it will be sometime after midnight before it dips below 100 degrees, and it won't dip much. So, you know, we have finally gotten to that normal summer pattern for Phoenix. But all over the world, people are noticing that weather is not doing what they have come to rely upon and what they've come to expect. And they're saying, you know, it's just weird the way the weather is changing. Now, I remember when I was in college, and again, that was back when I had hair. When I was in college, I took a course in environmental biology. And I remember the professor talking about the clear cutting of the rainforest down in the Amazon basin. And he said, and look, this was back in the 1980s. He said that if they continue to clear cut those forests, it will change the weather patterns of North America. And where we have been the breadbasket for the world, that may come to an end if those climate patterns change. And he said the clear cutting of the forest will change those patterns. Well, we have watched that happen, haven't we? And it's not just the cutting of the rainforest. It's a whole bunch of other things that are linked up. A whole bunch of other things that are taking place around the world environmentally, where it's, you know, once you have one part of the system that changes dramatically, it causes ripple effects through the rest of the system. And each thing it changes causes other changes, and so the changes grow exponentially. And that's what's happening. We're watching that happen. So there may be a time in the not-too-distant future, I doubt it'll be in my lifetime, but in the not-too-distant future, there may be a time when the coastline of Antarctica is once again free of ice, and when Antarctica may once again become habitable. Here we are, not too far out of the norm, and Phoenix in the summertime is just nearly unbearable, unbelievably hot. Of course, people who grew up here say they are used to it, they're accustomed to it. I don't know how you could ever become accustomed to living in an oven, but they say they are accustomed to it. All right, now, for the rest of us, let's say for the rest of the United States, you're not accustomed to getting temperatures up to 122 degrees or 115, 118 degrees. You're not accustomed to that. And let's say it begins to happen and it becomes the new norm where you live, and then you had an opportunity to immigrate to Antarctica, where the land is free. There's nobody living on it. Absolutely nobody is living on Antarctica except for scientists and a few security-type people and support people for the science missions. Nobody is living. There aren't any villages. I mean, just the science outposts. That's the only stuff that's there. There's no villages. There's no towns. It's all virgin territory. And let's say the climate changes to the point where it's 115, 116, 118 degrees every day where you live, and Antarctica is opened up. Would you go? Would you go if you could? Now, there are people that say, well, you know, and I know this because I've had this discussion in person with some people. They say, well, you know, the problem is you don't know whether, even if there's no ice, you don't know whether you could grow food there. Yeah, you do. You know for sure, because they found it fossilized or frozen. And, you know, deep, deep, deep in the ice, they have found ancient tropical plants. They have found ancient tropical animals that lived there. So, yeah, you know, it's all under ice right now, but you would be able, I think, to grow food, to grow plants there, because it did it before. So if it was not covered with ice, it would once again have that opportunity. But now, here comes the real kicker. In those deeper layers of ice are all kinds of bacteria, and maybe viruses, but certainly bacteria and other microbial organisms, some of them probably parasites, that were quick frozen. We don't know exactly what happened or when, but scientists tell us it happened really quick. And they were quick frozen. And they've been living in a state of hibernation, biological stasis, for these thousands and thousands of years. Some of them for millions of years. Recently, they discovered a bacterium that had been living Well, it had been frozen in the ice with no apparent food, no apparent oxygen. It's just frozen in ice from about 250,000 years ago. And as the ice melted, they were watching it under a microscope, and it came to life. So if you were to go to Antarctica in the new land grab, the new land rush, if you were to go there, and I'm speaking hypothetically, at some point in the future when all of the temperatures have risen as the doomsdayers are telling us it's going to, and the ice melts on Antarctica, and now there's land, and some of the frozen seeds that lay way down under the ice right now, a few of them germinate, spring to life. And now there's plants, there's grass, there's flowers, there are trees of varieties we've never seen because they are prehistoric. Would you go? Remember, when you get there, other things will have sprung to life, things you can't see. Bacteria, viruses. And we don't have the immunities to those because they haven't lived, some of them, for millions of years. Now, you might say, okay, Kevin, I got you. It's hypothetical. I got you. I understand. I get it. But, you know, I wouldn't go to Antarctica. All right, let's go another step farther. Let's say that the global warming predictions happen. Let's say that they're exactly right. Or maybe they may be low estimates and it gets much hotter much quicker. Antarctica thaws out. The ice is gone. Those ancient prehistoric seeds begin to germinate. Grass springs up and flowers and trees, and it's a beautiful place. But no one wants to go there because now they understand there's also bacteria and viruses, etc., that we have no immunity to, and it would be very risky for us to go there. Do you think that that bacteria and those viruses would remain on Antarctica, even if no one goes there? We'll consider that when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight. You wouldn't know it, would you? Some of you have mummified fingers. You can't get to your telephones. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. And hey, if you don't want me to take calls, call in and tell me you don't want me to take calls. I can always save money by canceling the phone lines, believe me. If you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you can scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message. Now, I was talking about Antarctica, and I was talking about these bacteria and perhaps viruses, microbes of every sort, and they're right now lying frozen, perhaps by the billions, frozen under miles of ice, quick frozen by whatever great cataclysm caused it to happen, we don't know. But if all that ice melts, we now know that some of them will spring back to life because it's been done. It's been observed in a laboratory. They took a chunk of ice from an ice core, and the strata that it was in, the depth that it was in, they dated to about 250,000 years ago. And so this bacteria has been laying there absolutely frozen. They observed it. They saw it. It was, by all observations, appeared to be inactive. It appeared to be dead. But as they were observing it in the laboratory and the ice began to melt, they saw through the microscope that bacteria began to wiggle to life, and it came back to life. And they don't know what it is. It's not anything they've seen before. All right, now, I asked the question, would you go to Antarctica if all this global warming stuff is, if that's a fact, and we get to temperatures where you're having 115 degrees every day, where you're used to having hot for you is, you know, 98 degrees, and now it's 115. And it's happening every day. And then you hear that there's land, not ice, but land in Antarctica. And it's possible to go there and immigrate to Antarctica and just stake out some property and build your house and live. Would you do it? And I posed the scenario that you have to understand you will be moving onto land inhabited by bacteria and other microbes that we have never seen and for which we have no immunity. And it, I think, could be very, very dangerous. But as we went to break, I mentioned that if all the people on the planet had a sudden stroke of rationality and said, no, I'm not going to chance that with my health. I'm not going to chance that with my family. I'm not going there. Do you think that the bacteria and the other microbes would stay on Antarctica? All right, now, there's a real living analogy to this. Several years ago, when I was still doing international work, I had the opportunity to sign on with a company that was going to be doing a project in the Congo. The pay was just going to be tremendous. And I was really excited about it at first. And then I thought, the Congo is where they have Ebola. And, you know, they tell you that the only way you can get the Ebola virus is to come into contact with the bodily fluids of somebody that has it. Well, we know for sure that's not true. We know for sure it's not true because they have an outbreak of Ebola. Everyone who comes into contact with the bodily fluids of someone who has Ebola, they get it. That much we know. It is true. That happens. The World Health Organization goes in there and they do a containment, and they get it contained, and then they get this outbreak of Ebola gone. And the way they do it is everybody that gets Ebola, almost everyone, dies within hours. They literally bleed to death from every pore of their body. Their internal organs turn to jelly. It is a horrendous disease. So everybody that gets it dies. A few percentage survive it. But, I mean, it's like, you know, less than 10%. And then the Ebola is gone. They burn all the bodies, and there's no bodily fluids for you to come into contact with. For several years, Ebola is gone, and then there is an outbreak again. How? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, my friend.
Hi, Brent.
Your 800 number is busy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not supposed to be. I will check on that during the next break.
But so far as Antarctica is concerned, I would say that it would make a great test run for a deep space outpost on another planet because they've got foreign stuff that they, humans haven't dealt with for years.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. But you would have to be willing to risk the people doing the tests actually getting the stuff. But, you know, it would only be a great place to do that if the ice was gone and the bacteria was reactivated.
Yeah, but they'd have to build a biosphere so that they could live comfortably while checking things out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, all right, now, if all the ice melted and they had free land there, would you go?
Probably.
You know, somehow I knew you would, Brent.
Mm-hmm. One of those crazy guys who doesn't care about bacteria.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to die anyway.
That's true. I tell, you've heard me say this. Death is the only thing that was guaranteed to you when you were born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in invisible ink, God stamped it on your rear end. You will die.
You need to die.
Yeah, you're guaranteed. But you see, I'm not volunteering for that next load.
Hmm.
If I think there's a danger there that I can't handle, I'm not afraid of dangers that I can handle. But if there's one against which I think I have no defense, I'll pass.
I figure somebody's got to do it, so why not be me?
If you do it.
I don't know.
If you do it, you look up the radio station down there and file some reports with them so we can hear you back over here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hello. This is Heidi from Manitoba.
Heidi. You expected me to say something corny like that, didn't you? What's on your mind this evening?
All right. What I was wondering about, any further word about that, I think his name is Brooks Agnew, and his expedition to Antarctica. And I was wondering, what are they doing to prepare for the possibility of these ancient microbes coming to life when they're there?
Those are excellent questions. I don't know. The last I heard, they were very close to having their funding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they were planning on sometime, I think, in September. And I could be wrong about that, but that's what is coming to my mind. And then as far as the, you know, what are they doing to plan for the bacteria, you know, he's been on the show several times, and that's not a question I even thought to ask him. So when he's on again, be sure you call in and ask him.
I will do that.
All right. And you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
No, this is my second time calling.
Did you get some applause the first time?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Heidi, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I did not know that there is apparently some problem at the 800 number, the toll-free number. It's actually the 888 number. So during the next break, I will check that. Now, you get my drift about the Ebola? You know, it goes away. Sometimes, you know, there have been like 7 years between outbreaks. So there's no way to come into contact with the bodily fluids of someone that has it. All the bodies of the people that had it have been burned, and they're gone. You can't come into bodily contact with any bodily fluids. And like 7 years goes by, and then there's an outbreak of Ebola again. So there's obviously some other way that you get it. Now, if there is something like that, frozen in time, under the ice in Antarctica, when the ice melts and some of those microbes shiver to life, do you really think they will stay on Antarctica? They will leave with the birds. They will leave with the penguins. And they will arrive on the shores of inhabited lands and eventually infect that population. And they will infect the rest of the world. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Dale from Mississippi.
Hi, Dale.
How are you?
Good.
Yes, I don't believe I would go to Antarctica because since they don't know what this bacteria is, then they would have no idea how to treat any disease you may acquire from it. And you don't know how contagious it might be if you do get anything as a result of it.
That's right. Dale, do you want to hold on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. I'll be back to you after the break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Dale, are you still with me?
Hi.
Hi.
I was afraid we were disconnected because, I mean, there was nothing on my phone and I thought, well,
yeah, you know, the system that we used where it played music is also the system that, you know, I don't know if you've been listening the past several weeks, we've been getting bleed over from some radio station on our telephone. And that's the system.
Yeah,
so I'm using a different, very plain vanilla system. And during the breaks, you don't hear anything. All right, now you said you would not go to Antarctica. By the way, folks, the 800-888 number should be working now. You wouldn't go because you might catch something there, some bacteria, some illness, and we wouldn't even know what's causing it because we're just not familiar with all those prehistoric bacteria. All right, but I agree with you. I wouldn't go either. But what do you say about the idea that that bacteria eventually is going to leave Antarctica and come to the rest of the world? It'll leave on animals that fly and maybe that swim. And it will make its way to the shores of other continents, and then the pandemic is on.
Well, that wouldn't be very good.
It wouldn't be very good, but it's a possibility, isn't it?
It's a possibility, and you could have a massive epidemic that would get completely out of control. And when something like that happens, then you have problems with other epidemics. Just as after a hurricane and you have a massive loss of life or like in a tsunami and you have to work quickly to do something with the ones that have lost their lives to prevent any other problems.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
You know,
and see, only one of those bacteria, just one, getting to another continent and infecting just one human could be enough. That could be enough to get it all rolling, especially with people traveling as they do now.
That's true. You know, all it takes is one plane flight with somebody that already is contaminated, and, I mean, everybody on that plane can acquire it, and it can travel all over the world.
Absolutely can.
You know.
And I hope it doesn't. Look, there are people that are going to, I'll get emailed, Dale, that says, you're just a doomsday prophet. No, I'm not a prophet. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying think about it. It's serious stuff when we talk about climate change. It's serious stuff.
That's true. I mean, you have to think about the possibilities. It's not saying that that is what's happening or going to happen, but you always have to leave that open door to think about what could be.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, if you just ignore it, then you're setting yourself up for, or could be setting yourself up for a disaster.
You're absolutely correct. Dale, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank
All right,
you.
Bye-bye. Okay, the 888 number, I did not know you were getting a busy signal, but it is now working. During the break, I fixed it. So if you need to call me on the toll-free line, you've been trying, and it is you've been getting a busy signal, it is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
I wanted to make a couple of things. Number one, thank you for having Stanton Friedman on last night. I was getting over my cold, so I just pretty much listened to it because my voice was pretty crappy yesterday.
All right.
But I always like when you have him on because he's just so full of information and just very, very knowledgeable about the subjects that he talks about. And he's just a real joy to listen to.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? Yes. And you notice that I can add him to the list of physicists that I have said this to, that there are no laws of physics. It's just descriptions of our current understanding of how it works.
Exactly.
And he said, yeah, that's right. So I can add him to the list. The list is growing.
Exactly. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad he's on it. I want to make a comment. Do you sometimes read the news that Yahoo puts out?
Every day.
Okay. Did you see on there today that NASA erased some of the Apollo 11 footage?
That one I didn't see.
Tape reels that they have?
No, I didn't see that one. I'll have to go look
for
it.
Well, it was really interesting. I thought I'd call it in because I know a couple weeks ago you were talking about NASA and everything, and at one time you targeted on Apollo 11.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is interesting because NASA admitted to erasing about 45 of the Apollo 11 tapes.
And did they say why they made this move of genius?
Well, because of the time that the Apollo 11 mission was being filmed, that type of tape was the only type of tape that was available that NASA could use. So for some really odd reason, I guess they couldn't get any more of that special type of tape. And they had other projects and things like that that they wanted to film, that they wanted to tape. So they
reused
it. 45 of the tapes. And a company called Lowry Data in California are the folks, they were the ones that restored the original a copy of Casablanca, which is my favorite film. Anyway, they are in the process of getting together. They've got four different originals that they got outside of NASA. They got, I think, two from California and one from New York and another, I think, from Pennsylvania. And anyway, what this Lowry Data is planning on doing is having the tapes restored, black and white. They're not going to use color, in time for the... Well, what was the 40th anniversary of NASA?
It'll be on Monday.
Of Apollo 11, the moonwalk.
It's on Monday.
Right. And so I just thought that was really interesting. I mean, I just read it really quick, and I said, I think I'll call in and tell Kevin about it and see if he's heard
it. Yeah,
anything
that's
about
one
it.
I
read about it.
I didn't see that one, but I'll go back and look for
it. Yeah, if you just, you know, go to yahoo.com and when they have, like, the news and stuff come
mm-hmm.
up, it's, I think, under the featured tab, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. I'll check it out.
But it's really interesting.
All right.
Okay, have a good night, Kev.
Thanks for the call. Interesting. Oh, my. You know, they do something like that, and it makes it difficult for someone like me who goes on the air and says we ought to double NASA's budget. There's just really no defense for that stroke of genius. You know, if you couldn't get any more of that tape, guys, why didn't you just go out and buy some new equipment that used the new tape? Stroke of genius. Absolutely stroke of genius. All right. The drawing that you hear, we talk about, you see the ad that Jerry Wills has done for us, where he talks about we're going to have a drawing and someone is going to win that rock from the time and space portal. We're going to do that drawing on the last show of July. All right, on the last show of July, we're going to do that drawing. You have to be in our members area. You have to be a subscribing member in order to be included in that drawing. If you are a subscribing member, you will be included in that drawing automatically. All right. If you're not a subscribing member, where's the genius in that? It's $6.95 per month to be a member. And then you get the archives, and they're in podcast format. That means that all the commercials have been taken out. You get chat, you get the forums, you get the library, and you get the video galaxy. And like I said, where's the genius in not being a subscribing member? All right, that's a wrap for this evening. My guest tomorrow is one of the best known, one of the top psychics on planet Earth. Robbie Thomas will be with us. And he's told me there may be some big news that he's going to share with us. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.